This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 63rd State House District includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. There will be a new representative in that district next year because current Representative Dave Maturin was defeated in a Republican primary. John LaPietra is the Green Party candidate in the 63rd State House District. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Give yourself a little bit of an introduction here. Tell people about your background and what you would like to do if you were to be elected to the State House.
Oh, goodness. Well, I will have been an attorney for 10 years as of October. At least that's when the word of the bar exam passing got through. Before that, I've had a couple other careers. I spent about 10 years working for state, county, regional, and local governments, about 10 years in the private sector, and 10 years in nonprofits. So I have, I think, a fairly wide-ranging background that helps me understand where a lot of people are coming from and what a lot of their lives are like. My top priority, if when elected, would be to get Michigan out of dead last place in one very important area. The Center for Public Integrity has flunked Michigan twice in its studies of state government accountability and integrity. And in fact, last time in 2015, we were placed dead last. This doesn't fit with the state constitution's Article 1, Section 1, which says all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their mutual, let me see if I get the right order here, equal benefit, security, and protection. That's pretty well in line with government of the people being by the people and for the people. I think that all government is of the people, but unless it's done by the people, it can't be for the people. And that's the problem we have.
So what exactly then does the state need to do, or what exactly does a state lawmaker need to do to change that accountability ranking and do have a government which is of, by, and for the people?
Well, there are, in that study, a lot of other states' best practices, and we can learn from them whether we adopt them as exactly as they are or improve them or adapt them to our circumstances. We need stronger FOIA and open meeting laws and rules. We need better financial disclosure and stronger conflict of interest rules for our elected officials. And a simple idea, we need to stop letting incumbents of any elected office promote themselves on the public dollar. If you go into the Secretary of State's office to renew your license or your tag or anything else, you will see a lot of information with the current incumbent's name prominently displayed on it. There's no, you don't expect to see her there. You don't expect to get served by her. The only purpose that has is to tell you, I'm here. You want to vote for me.
But incumbents will always want to communicate with their constituents. We can argue about how much of it is promoting, how much of it is truly useful. But in the course of communicating with constituents, isn't some of that likely to be interpreted by opponents as trying to, buff up their image or what have you?
Well, if I'm elected, the seat in the office I will occupy, I know it won't be mine. It's only a temp job, basically. And anytime I get information for constituents, which I expect to do and I hope to do, it will come from the office. It won't have my name or picture on it.
So you mentioned strengthening FOIA, Freedom of Information Act.
Yes.
Would you want to make both the governor and the legislature subject to that?
Yes. I also want to make sure that the law is interpreted and applied as it's written, which says that basically the people get the benefit of the doubt, that the burden of proof that something needs to be kept concealed and not open is on those who claim that.
What do you think should be done to improve the condition of the state's roads?
Well, one of my past careers involved working a fair amount in transportation planning. It was more transit planning, but I did get to sit in on a lot of road construction project planning as well. And I saw enough to discover for myself what I've since learned that professional transportation researchers have known since about 1962. They call it the fundamental rule of highway construction. I might call it more the field of dreams rule. If you build it, they will drive. More highway construction leads to more highway trips. It does not really affect traffic congestion. And the more building there is, the more wear and tear there is on the roads. I think what we need is to plan for and build and maintain a sustainable transportation system. We need to make sure our roads are built stronger to last longer, which means having warranties and enforcing them for both new construction, where it is called for, and for repairs. I think it means stopping destroying the roads and our cars with corrosive salts. There are other options. It can be sand. In some situations, it can be other chemicals, which cost more up front, but again, pay for themselves in the long run.
Okay, so you say that building more roads is just going to get more people driving on them. Are you saying never build a new highway?
I would not tend to say never. I don't want to say I never say never, of course, but again, the key to me is sustainability. And a proper understanding of and appreciation for an overall broad system and future needs. One of the Green Party's 10 key values is future focus. It ties into sustainability, and Greens have sometimes advocated for what we call the seventh generation amendment, saying that decisions should be made not with an eye on the bottom line for the next quarterly statement or the next 2 or 5 year plan, but how it will affect things down to the seventh generation.
What would you do about trying to reduce what Michigan residents pay for auto insurance?
The first thing I would want to do is have an open, fully informed discussion about catastrophic claims. It is a fairly unique system, but I think we need to understand the benefits as well as the costs, and we need to know what the costs are and how they are being calculated before we can talk about any particular reforms being done. I am concerned about insurance to some extent anyway, and may not be entirely because I am an attorney. I've never had a particular case involving an insurance company, but I have had some experience with insurance companies myself, and I have heard some stories on the campaign trail. And I know there's a book by one of the experts in the field called Delay, Deny, Defend. It seems to be a fairly common series of tactics for insurance companies. And although I can understand, whereas corporations, they want to defend their own bottom lines, when they affect the rights and the lives of people, I tend to be on the people's side.
So what does the state do about that? I mean, is there some sort of mechanism for examining insurance company practices, regulating them, et cetera?
Well, there are states that have insurance commissions. I don't know how many of them are captive agencies, of course. But again, that might be one of the areas that we can borrow other states' best practices on.
What do you consider to be a living wage?
One that enables you to live, obviously. I don't know that there is a one figure that can be put on it nationwide or statewide. I do know that the $12 petition would have been a good first step. I also know that even $15 an hour would not have been enough to afford basic housing, according to studies I've seen across the country and again across the state. I do have a couple of ideas. One on that is borrowed from an old bill that came up in the 1990s. A Minnesota Democrat named Martin Olav Sabo proposed the Income Equity Act. The situation wasn't quite as bad as it is now, but he proposed limiting the amount of CEO, top executive compensation, that could be deducted for business taxes to 25 times the salary of the lowest paid full-time worker. I think something like that could be done here as well. I also think that although Michigan has a clause in its state constitution preventing a graduated progressive income tax, we could make more use of the progressive effect of standard deductions and exemptions, if we put them back in, to raise the floor so that with a compensating increase in the tax rate, but still leaving it at a one tax rate, people up to a higher basic income would still pay no state income taxes.
The ballot proposals. Proposal 1 would legalize marijuana for recreational purposes in Michigan. Do you support that?
I join the Green Party in supporting that, yes. There are a number of reasons we support it. One of our values is social justice. And we believe that legalizing marijuana will reduce the impact of the war on drugs and the school-to-prison pipeline. A number of us in the press release we made announcing our official endorsement of the proposal also came out supporting expunging records for people who were convicted only for simple possession offenses, which would also help reduce overcrowding in prisons. We also think that it can be a good opening of the door to industrial hemp, which is another economic impact, as well as the actual tax revenues supporting roads and schools.
Proposal 2 would change the system of redistricting in Michigan. Do you think that voters should approve it?
I think that proposal is somewhat flawed. It is not so much nonpartisan as still bipartisan. It has a lot of ways for the Titanic 2, as I sometimes call them, to control the process and even veto members who are too independent. And even if we were considering independents all in a lump, as opposed to including members of the other 5 parties who will have actually somewhat more of a difficult time qualifying their supporters for the commission, the proportion is a little bit off anyway. The latest Gallup poll I've seen, and they poll them roughly monthly, says that nationwide, 26% of people identify themselves as Republicans, 27% as Democrats, and 44% as independents. And that's including states where people register to vote by party. In Michigan, I've got to figure that it's probably a higher percentage. We may even be an absolute majority. That said, I personally am inclined to accept a little bit of harm to my own party's interests for the benefit of the people, as long as we consider this as a first step. It doesn't, the proposal doesn't also cover reapportionment of county commissions, and I would like to see more of a move myself towards a more proportional system that would give more interests a better chance to be represented.
John LaPietra is the Green Party candidate in the 63rd State House District. That includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.